Hello, amazing parents and caretakers, and welcome to the Pumped Up Parenting Podcast. I'm your family empowerment coach, Celia Kibler. I'm a mom of a blended family of five kids. I'm a grandma of nine kids, an author, a teacher, a speaker, and a consultant with over 40 years of training and real-life parenting experience. I'm here to offer you practical, doable tips, strategies, and techniques that will pump up your parenting skills and create peace, love, and laughter throughout your family. In addition, I'll be interviewing some great humans that are on a mission to make your life a better, happier, and healthier life. So let's not waste any time and get started with the next episode of the Pumped Up Parenting Podcast. Thanks for listening. Hey, parents, and welcome to another edition of Pumped Up Parenting. I'm excited to welcome my guest, Megan Jackson, who is a mom of three amazing children. Are 5, 10, and 12, and she is a homeschool mom, and she happens to also be a parenting coach and a homeschooling coach, and she is the founder of Joyful Mud Puddles, one of my favorite names, because how much fun is it to jump in mud puddles? I love that. So, Megan, I'd like to welcome you to the Pumped Up Parenting Podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here.
Oh, and we are thrilled to have you. Welcome. So in this day of Corona land, or I like to call living with the Rona, everybody has like become a homeschool parent, which in my eyes, you're not really a homeschool parent. So you're kind of a parent that's taking care of your kids doing distance learning, which is a whole lot different than being a homeschool parent. And we'll get a little clarification on that. In this year of the Rona, of the coronavirus, we are all becoming these homeschool teachers. And parents are struggling right and left because they're not teachers. Let's face it, that was not their chosen profession of life, nor did they choose to homeschool their kids. They chose to send them off to a public or private or some other place to get their education. And in reality, the distance learning that parents are going through is not at all homeschooling. You're not setting up a curriculum. You're not doing all these things. You're not abiding by guidelines. But it is still challenging because parents are not used to it. So I wanted to bring you on, Megan, so that you could talk to parents about the realities of homeschooling, the types of homeschooling, because this has brought many parents to the point of thinking, should I be homeschooling my child? You know, I've been doing this much, which obviously is not everything a homeschool mom does, but maybe I should go the extra distance and actually become a homeschool parent and have my children do their schooling and their education right in their home. So the first question I want to ask you, Megan, is, what are the different learning styles wrong? That is not the first question I want to ask you. Zap that. Okay, so the first question I want to ask you is, what brought you to becoming a homeschool coach? I know you homeschool your kids, but where did you decide you would now create Joyful Mud Puddles and help other parents?
So the journey to Joyful Mud Puddle is, it's an interesting one because it really started focusing with the transformation that happened in my life. Because a few years ago, we were going through a lot of struggles as a family. Our family business was going through some financial changes, and I had suffered a miscarriage. And, you know, I was at the lowest point of my parenting. And it was one of those things where when other people noticed, like the neighbors or my family, and everyone was telling me, "You, something needs to give. You're trying to do too much." And for our family, we really wanted to try to continue homeschooling if it was a possibility. So I said, okay, instead of sending the kids to school, maybe I could get some help. you know, managing all of this. So I reached out to some parenting coaches and I did an online course, and the transformation in my life was so unbelievable. I mean, everyone noticed. And I decided then that I wanted to offer other moms just like myself the support I wish I had when I needed it most. And so I was already doing the homeschooling, and I was seeing so many families struggling with trying to make that work, especially if they were working in homeschooling, because that's a unique situation. And then the parent coaching, I was like, I need to be doing this. This is something that so many families are struggling with, and they really appreciate the help. So it all came together. I already had been blogging for years and just brought in everything tied in together nicely.
Awesome. So great, because everybody does need it. Equally why I'm a parenting coach too, because parents are struggling, you know, mm-hmm. and now in this day and age where we're all going through this social distancing and distance learning and, you know, quarantines and all these things, they need it more than ever. And the question of homeschooling and continuing to homeschool when this is long gone is probably prevalent in a huge majority of parents' minds at this point. So, you know, this could not come at a better time for parents across the world. So what are the steps you suggest for a family that's just starting out in homeschooling, or even just contemplating, should I be doing this?
Yeah, the contemplating is a big one, because right now we call it COVID schooling in the homeschool world, because you're right, this is not homeschooling. So don't take what you're experiencing now as what homeschooling could be. But the things you want to do, first you want to look into the laws surrounding homeschooling in your area, because each different state, province, country has different regulations and requirements. So you want to look into what those are first. And then I really strongly suggest taking time to journal and think about why you're choosing this, because that's going to dictate what you're going to further look into. So you want to take into consideration, how long is this, just for the fall or this next year, because you really want to put them back in school and you're just not sure about this COVID stuff? Or are you really enjoying being at home with your kids and you want to look into this more long term? So think about your reasons and what you hope to gain with your children. What do they want to come away with long term from having been home with you? After that,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, please continue.
The next thing you need to do is de-school. Now, de-schooling is sort of undoing that school, that public school mentality in your mind, and take time to adjust being at home together. You may have already had a chance to do that since the spring, but you want to take some time to relax and shift your mindset, because your children have to get used to you being now their teacher and their parent. And you also need to get out yourself out of the mindset of thinking that school has to happen in certain time frame during the day, and that you have to do all the subjects every day, because it's going to look so different at home. And you also could, it takes a little longer for others, like depending on how old your child is and how long they've been in the system, they might need a bit of a break.
Yeah, I tell parents all the time, you know, your child sitting at the dining room table looking at a computer is so different than them sitting in a classroom with other kids and their teacher, you know, because parents are always like, well, why can't they sit and watch a computer for 3 hours? And, you know, they do it at school. I hear that all the time. It is totally different. It's a different environment. It's a different learning structure. It's, you know, it's boring. There's nothing to, you know, capture their interest. There's no play. There's no social relationships. It's totally different. So you can't expect it to be the same as when they go to school for 8 hours a day and have all the interactions with their friends, with the teacher, with the equipment, the books, all the stuff that the schoolroom, you know, that a classroom offers a child, it's just not the same.
Exactly. And then trying to do this distance learning is definitely not a picture of what homeschooling is, because we have so much more freedom. The kids are learning so much more and doing so much more, because it just opens up a whole world of opportunities, which leads to the next thing that you want to do. Once you know the why you're doing it and you figured out, you know, that this is what you want to do, then you realize that there's more than one way to homeschool. You're not tied to doing school at home. So you want to take a look at the different methods and philosophies available to you, without overwhelming yourself. Because if you actually look at it, there's a huge list of options. Like, there's Montessori, there's Waldorf, there's Charlotte Mason, classical, all these different types that could suit you and your child. And then most families, once they pick a method that intrigues them, they look into it a little further. But try not to tie yourself to a label or box yourself in. Most of us over time become an eclectic mix of you know, pick and choose what works best for you. But it's a good starting point.
And yeah, I think it's good to recognize, like, what, you know, really tune into your kids and notice what they love. How do they learn best? You know, if they're young kids, you know, play is the one of the most educational ways to learn for a young child, you know, and it teaches so much. And, you know, to really relate what you're teaching to so many different things in life and different aspects that may be happening outside, or cooking, you know, great math things are in cooking. There's, you know, there's so many aspects to teaching what they need to learn. The more creative you are, I would imagine children would, you know, love the creativity.
Exactly. And then, do you all, like you mentioned as well, you also have to consider your child's learning style. And we all know that there's, like, you know, three basics ones of does your child learn best by hearing or seeing or hands-on doing. But there's also more. If you ever look up multiple intelligences, there's a lot more ways to learn. Some people learn better through social interactions. Some prefer to work alone. There's and also nature, music. So there's different ways that your child might learn best, and you need to think about that too. There's no sense giving workbooks to a hands-on child. That's just
exactly
not going to work out.
So go ahead.
Oh, and then comes the fun part of trying to choose the right curriculum and actually planning out your day. And I'd say there's so many curriculum companies popping up all over the place. But at least if you know the type of learning that your child does best and the type of method, that, you know, narrows it down a little.
And what method do you do? Not that, you know, you're saying it fits for everyone, but just out of curiosity.
So for us personally, we do a mix of things, but mostly right now we do unit studies. So my children will pick a topic that they're interested in, and I'll create a unit around that topic. And then for a number of years, we've also included a lot of Waldorf and unschooling. So that's why I say we're a bit of a mix, depending on the season or what year we've been in.
But I think that's important, because you also have three different children, three different ages. So that flexibility, that resilience is, you know, I feel like that's something parents are absolutely learning that they need through all of this. And if you're going to homeschool, you need to be flexible whenever you're working with kids. Flexibility is golden. So, you know, you need to change it up. Some's not working, change it up.
Exactly. And that was the last thing on my list. Like, just give it a go. Pick a curriculum. Don't buy everything. You're going to waste all your money. Just pick something, give it a good try, you know, couple months, see how it goes, and then adjust accordingly. And don't buy some big giant curriculum that you expect to use on all your kids every year forever, because it's not going to fit all your kids every year. So you have to be flexible about that.
Do most homeschooling parents homeschool year round, or do they do a school year like, you know, most institutions, you know, public institutions?
I'd say half and half, because it depends on the, you know, if they have other kids in school, then they'll follow that, or if it works with the work schedule of another parent that they can take time off in the summers. For us, we go year round. And that just gives me the flexibility to take extended breaks during different times of the year if we need to. And in the summer, we do lighten our load, but that's also when we do like the fun, big, messy stuff outside that I don't want in the kitchen. So right. We're doing a lot more outdoor nature studies and projects and messy art and everything outside.
That is so wonderful. So that all that outdoor stuff, outdoor learning, you know, they love it. They just, you know, it lights kids up. I just, you know, nature walks, all kinds of things. And there's so much to learn. It's endless, you know. And, you know, the more curious they are, the more questions they ask, the more questions you ask them, it's fabulous. It's fabulous. And they just learn so much endlessly. So talk a little bit about, I know you have three children. Some people have one child. When you have multiple children, multiple ages, you know, so they're learning different things, how does that, you know, play into the world of a homeschooling parent?
Well, you just have to remember, again, that this is not school at home. So you want to try and make it a family feel. That's what's unique about you. So we try to incorporate, package it together. Everyone could be doing art at the same time. They're just drawing different things. We all could be doing the same unit. Like we all could be studying, say, Vikings, but one child might write a little more or write a little less. Even my youngest, who was 3 or 4 at the time, he was learning all about castles and knights, and I got picture books, so we all can do the same topics together where we can. And then the other thing that I recommend is try not to feel like you have to do everybody, every subject all the time. It's okay if you focus more on one child on Monday and then they do a bit more independent stuff on Tuesday and you're doing another child focused on them. Like, spread out your topics and spread out your child, because throughout the week you're going to get to everything. And then if you have any nappers, you can make use of quiet time and nap time to work with your older children too. And the older kids really get a lot of practice helping their younger siblings. So my middle son, he's learning to read, so he reads to his younger brother, and it's fantastic. So they're both benefiting from that.
Yeah, I would imagine it really creates a good sense of, you know, camaraderie and communication and mentorship from one child to another child. And, you know, all that's good advice for any parent. I tell parents all the time, you have multiple children, be sure to spend that one-on-one time, not just with you and your kids, but with you and each child. Every child wants to know that they're special to you. So even by you spending a subject or part of the day with just one child and the other two are doing their independent study or whatever, reading or, you know, whatever they got going on, that's so important for, you know, for the confidence and the self-worth of each child themselves. Because very often when there are siblings and they're always together, they lose their identity. And sometimes they feel like, well, you know what, I kind of feel like mom likes this one better or mom likes this one better. But when you can do that one-on-one special time with each of them so that they know that you are so important to me and so special to me, I love all of you, but each one of you is, you know, is a light in my eye and a joy in my heart and, you know, not one over another. It gives them so much. It gives them so much when you can, you know, be one-on-one with each child.
I totally agree. And it also helps cut down on like the competition or the comparing. Because when you are trying to do a lot of things together, there's always, well, how come he's doing less and how come I'm not the same? But if you can spend that one-on-one time, you can really help your child either where they're struggling or where they shine and let them go further with the area that is their strength too.
Absolutely. Like, you know, I call comparing comparitis because it's a disease and parents need to stop comparing, because we all have our gifts and, you know, you want to take the time, you want to observe your kids, you want to tune into your kids. When they're little, you want to watch them, not, you know, don't stop participating with them, don't stop playing with them, but just kind of watch them and see where their, you know, their star sparkles brightest, you know, see what they really love. And if you're going to go into homeschooling, you can really utilize those passions and those interests in the what they're learning and start relating it to those things that they love, you know, and they will always feel confident and worthy when those passions, those special gifts, those geniuses that we all have, when those are, you know, brought to the forefront and allowed to be used, you will always develop a child's confidence and self-worth and identity. And, you know, it just goes for miles and miles. Makes them wonderful. Makes them feel wonderful. So let me ask you another question. So you have a parent and they've been through the, you know, distance learning, and they're now sitting there, well, let's see, I have my work to do, I have my distance learning to do, I have my kids to feed, I have naps to take, I have all these things to do. How do you, as a homeschool mom, and I know that is your job, but you may have another job that you also do, how do you find balance in homeschooling your three children and going on with your life and finding time for you? You know, finding that special, like, you know, hey, I'm worth it too here.
It dropped the idea of balance, first of all, because it is a more of a juggling act. You can't allot equal time to everything every day. So it's not an equal balance. It's more of try to come up with time blocking really helps. So I know that this day I'm going to dedicate any free time I get to this area of my life. And then if an emergency comes up, at least I'll know I'll get to it later. Also having a good rhythm. And I prefer a rhythm to a schedule, because you can't tie yourself to times unless you have an appointment. But it's more of a general flow to the day. But when we do, everyone knows in theory where they're supposed to be. So there's a lot less of that chaos and juggling everything. So you have to have some kind of plan, basically, so that you're not just flying by the seat of your pants every day, and then your to-do list is overwhelming your head and you're feeling stressed out all the time. And that way you can create time for yourself. Put it actually on the calendar and prioritize what needs to actually happen. And then if you do prioritize and time block or come up with a good rhythm, then you will make sure that you put the effort in there. And if life happens, life happens. A sick child means that you're going to have to take care of them a lot longer, and life will come back to itself. But yes, it certainly is a tricky thing.
Yeah. And don't forget, guys, don't forget to take breaks. Take breaks for you. Take breaks for your kids. You know, it is scientifically proven that the mind works better, learns better, absorbs better after it's had a 10-minute break. You know, I always encourage meditation, relaxation, breathing. After my story times at 7 o'clock that I do on Facebook and all on YouTube, I do a breathing thing where it's smell the flower and blow out the candles. You just, if there's a tense situation with your kids, and even now, and they just seem a little stressed, you guys seem a little stressed, do 4 deep breathings. Through your nose, smell that flower, blow out the candles, you know, and do that. And even just that little break can refocus the mind and refocus the behavior and attitude of a child. Or if they need to run, you know, I have a fitness company for kids, FunFit, and I tell and a tip to every parent, when that energy is building up in children, which it does, because that's how they're wired, just let them run. Send them outside, have them run. Time them, say, okay, you're gonna do 4 laps. You know, let's go, let's see, you know, how you doing? Okay, ding, ding, how many laps you do? Or just let them run around the house and run and do it for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, release that energy, they'll come back on and they'll sit. You know, there's so many things you can do for kids to release energy, but don't forget that they have to release their energy. If you don't allow that energy to come out while you're schooling them, while you're home with distance learning, whatever's going on with them, if you don't let them release that energy, it will come out in ways you don't want it to come out. Like they'll scream, they'll yell, they'll smack their brother, you know, whatever, they'll throw, you know, it will come out. It's going to come out. It has to come out. It can't stay inside them. So don't forget to have little run breaks, little fun breaks throughout the day. Fun is important. Laughter, tell jokes, laugh a lot. Fake laughter is just as good as real laughter to the brain. So you can even just start fake laughing and your kids will laugh along with you because stuff is funny. So I've really enjoyed talking about this. Is there any last tips you want to tell a parent who may be thinking this is the route they want to go for their future?
Yeah, I just wanted to remind parents to don't compare, because whatever situation you have, that's what makes your family unique. So if you're a working homeschooling parent, then that is the lesson. I think sometimes we forget that, and everyone tries to do everything the same or juggle too much. If you're working, involve your kids and honor that. That's unique to your family. That is the lesson. If you have a new baby, the baby is the lesson. That's what your family is going through right now, and that learning is going to happen about so much more, about life skills, about balancing that all out. They're watching you and how you're handling things. So instead of trying to recreate school at home and worrying about all these extra things you have juggled on your plate, embrace that as the lesson that they're also learning from that. And the other thing I wanted to say is that you're not alone. So reach out. There is support. There are coaches. There is homeschool groups. There's a lot of activities in the neighborhood, libraries, sports places. They all offer homeschool activities. So it's not like you're going to be like these weird unsocialized people that are locked away, because that's what we're dealing with now and we all hate it. So homeschooling is not COVID. Right. If you can do it right.
That's great advice. And, you know, I totally agree with all of that. You know, be flexible, go with the flow. Don't forget that everything is learning, everything. You know, be the role model, be the person you want your kids to be. And I'll repeat it again. It's because we're raising adults, we are not raising kids. That's why that's like the byline of Pumped Up Parenting. You are not raising kids, you are raising an adult, a confident, self-sufficient, able, someone who can deal with emotion, loving, happy adult. And everything you do and everything you role model creates the person that they're going to become. And, you know, if you've got things going on that you're like, you know, well, I do this, but you guys don't do this, it is totally not true. They will follow what you do, not what you say. So, you know, it is so important to be that role model and be human. And you make mistakes. You say you're sorry because you're human. You're not God. You're human. Only God is God. Humans are humans. And we all make mistakes. And mistakes are good. They lead to great success. Plato, a mistake. Post-it notes, a mistake. They're all mistakes. And look at them. They're like gazillion-dollar businesses. So mistakes are good. You should have fun making mistakes, because then you can go, well, that didn't go so good. Let me see what I can do to make it better. So always encourage those kids through those, you know, as I always tell parents, yes, I'm a fitness person for kids, but the two most important muscles you should exercise in a child is the disappointment muscle and the waiting muscle. Exercise them, you know? They need to realize that things go wrong. Welcome to life when things do not always go your way. So you got to exercise it. And homeschooling is a perfect place to make kids realize that a mistake is simply a bump in the road. And it's just a way to get to where you're going, because we all make them. And no one's successful without them. So, Megan, it's just been wonderful having you on, and you're full of amazing information. You know, you've been successfully homeschooling three children, three different ages, which amazes me. And I love children. I could be around them all time long, but you know, I did not homeschool my five children. And so tell parents, please, how they can, you know, find you, how they can find Joyful Mud Puddles. My favorite name, Joyful Mud Puddles. And don't forget to let your kids jump in mud puddles. Okay, that's I'm gonna stop there. So tell parents how they can find you.
If you just Google it, I'm the only one with that name. So you'll find me. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, and I have a website all under Joyful Mud Puddles. And I'm also on Pinterest and YouTube and LinkedIn. So I'm everywhere. You can either do Megan Jackson or you can do Joyful Mud Puddles, and that's how you'll find me.
Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. And I'm so grateful that you joined us and that you're giving your gift to all these wonderful parents that are really trying to figure out which way to go, what route to take. And I appreciate you being on so much. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being you. And thank you for being a person to help parents with something that they desperately need answers for right now.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Pumped Up Parenting Podcast. Be sure to head over to pumpedupparenting.com to grab your free copy of the Patient's Playbook. Wishing there was a manual for your toddler? Well, good news, now there is. You can pick up your copy of Raising Happy Toddlers, How to Build Great Parenting Skills and Stop Yelling at Your Kids, my newest release on Amazon today. Tune in next time for more tips, advice, and strategies as you continue to pump up your parenting and create childhoods that everyone can blossom from. Have yourself a really fun day. Bye-bye.